This is Patrick Rivers from 3 Days Under, and you are listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, do I have a show for you today? Because I have on the line vocalist Patrick Rivers of 3 Days Under. Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Appreciate you having me here.
Patrick, I got to tell you, man, it's an honor. You know what? Facebook's an amazing thing. And, you know, when you had sent me the video, the double EP album, The Fall, I was like, wow, I've never heard anything like that. I mean, your music is so unique. Your vocals are amazing. So I said to myself, I gotta request this interview. And so I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart, you taking this time to give me a call to do this.
You've already made me blush, right? 2 seconds into the interview.
Okay, well, all right. So Patrick, what I'd like to do is, how about you go ahead and give the listeners some history about yourself and how the band 3 Days Under had come together. So what I'd like to do is turn the floor over to you, my friend.
Right on, man. Simple enough. I think it was like year 2000. I know this is going way back, but it's necessary. Build the foundation. I up and went off and joined the Marine Corps. Thought it was going to make me a up-and-coming tough guy, and it did, for the most part, but it also made me an up-and-coming drunk guy. And so after I departed from the Marine Corps after the war and everything like that, I stayed drunk for about 10 years, all while, like, when I was 8 years old, I got saved and baptized and grew up in youth group, and so I knew God, and I knew how I should be living, but I thought, I'm a good enough person, I got this, up until I finally ran into, like, in 2007, had a cocaine-induced heart attack, had numerous bouts with alcohol poisoning. Some I went to the hospital for, some I didn't. So then I was about 33 years old, wound up getting full custody of my daughter, knowing that she needed to be raised in church. That's where I took her, thinking that God didn't have anything for me. I'm assuming that's probably about the point when God decided to laugh, to say, okay, I got you, pal. And so the rest is kind of history. Once I started really digging, really fully dedicating my life to the Lord, is when things started coming back to me, like my love for music, because I was in secular bands growing up and things like that. Nothing. Oh, we were terrible. nothing to really speak of. Once I started really digging into the Word and being led by the Spirit, things started to get laid on my heart. And I was working at the local jail, believe it or not, the place where I was locked up at one time. I had a job as a guard down there. And that's when I clearly heard the Lord speak to me. Why don't you take the music that you grew up with, like the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s music, and he's like, why don't you infuse the love of my son into that music and then give it to the people? Because I would have so many people come through back through the door like a rotating door in that jail. They'd find the jailhouse Jesus, but then they'd get out and they'd come back and they'd be like, what happened? Man, there's nothing that I can really latch onto out there. I can't turn on the contemporary Christian music station or the oldies gospel station to really latch onto that. So that's what planted the seed for maybe like some my style of music, I guess you could say. And so then I just started plugging away, had two kind of failure bands before 3 Days Under, but they were all for training. I think the first one was called like Another Mark. And then I was in a group called Altered Drive. And oh man, were we terrible too. Looking back at it. But then finally, I did the solo thing for a while. I released a single called Breathe, just under my name, Patrick Rivers. Finally, I started praying, God, I want my band back. I want a band. And he said, okay, it's been time. You've been doing it long enough. But if you're going to do it, you're going to do it my way and how I tell you to do it. And you're going to call it 3 Days Under to represent the time that my son spent in hell retrieving what was rightfully mine. And he said, that's exactly what you're going to do with your music. You're going to go into the darkest places. You're going to talk about the darkest things that people don't want to touch on. so it can actually regain what is mine with some of these lost people out there, the hurting, the broken, the discarded, the downtrodden. So that's a very Cliff Notes version of the history of the band.
Well, let me say this to you, Patrick. I have done many interviews, secular and Christian. And I got to tell you, and I'm not saying this to sugarcoat anything, brother, that's probably next to my own story with narcotics and stuff, probably the most powerful short version of a testimony I've ever heard. And that's the truth.
Oh, man.
And because, brother, I know what those dark days are. I know what heroin and cocaine addiction is. I suffered it for 30 years. I've been, you know, clean and sober for approximately 14 or 15 years, and I don't take days for granted anymore. I know God covered me. He never took his hands off me. Every time a needle was in my arm, you know, or you know, a straw in or a pipe, whatever it was, I just know that he's taking it away from me. I can talk about it comfortably today, you know, where I couldn't talk about it before. I really couldn't, because I would I'd get sober for a little while, you know, and then after thinking about how pitiful my life was, and it gets pretty rough, bro, when you get to a point in your life where you can't even kill yourself. I know for a fact that God delivered me, and nobody can take that away, because just the evidence is overwhelming.
Most of my life has been, and though I chose most of my path and what I was going to do and how I was going to do it, especially with the drugs and things like that, I was able to experience hopelessness, because I've been on the verge of suicide, where I've taken half a bottle of Tylenol PM on top of a fifth of vodka. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like I have to experience hopelessness to be able to fully understand those without hope. And so, I mean, I think that goes a long way. I think you have to walk sometimes a mile in other people's shoes so you can fully understand what they're dealing with.
Right. And I think a lot of people, for the most part, they don't understand addiction. Nothing against people that participate in AA or CA or NA or anything like that. I mean, if it works for you, great. But there's the one part of AA I just don't agree with, or any other of those recovery groups. It's this, and I want to get your opinion on it. To go and raise my hand in any meeting, recovery group, whatever, and say, "Hi, my name is Jim, and I am an addict." How in the world can I comfortably say that I'm an addict, but I'm not using? I will say, I am a former drug user saved by the grace of God. But I would never say I'm a recovering addict, because if you're recovering, you're still active. Does that make any sense?
I'm glad you asked me that question, Jim. I've worn many hats in my short time on this planet. I used to work for a recovery company as a peer support specialist, and help guys and girls with their struggling addiction. And when they would go and introduce themselves and they would start to do something like that in one of my groups personally, I would have to stop them. I'd be like, "Listen, God did not give you the name tag or the label of addict.
That's right.
Don't be putting anything on you that God doesn't say about you." And I'm a firm believer in that. I mean, some people it helps to make sure that they're still aware of where they come from and their roots and what they can't go back to. And I mean, if that's working for you, fine and well, so be it. But stop putting that label on you, because that's not who you are. You were never called that from the foundations of the earth. So why in the world would you take a man-made label and put it on you too?
You know, I think that there's a lot of people out there that are sober, but they're miserable as hell. God came to give us joy. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about that. When we lock ourselves into a situation, like you said, you know, that label, it's ridiculous. And I'll sum it up real quick. You know, what you believe to be true, you will create your own reality.
Sure enough.
You know, Patrick, I want to ask you a question. What was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
Honestly, and I've never said this. I mean, I've told a few people this, but I've never really spoke about it. But there's this one guy, and his name is Matt Neef, and he's with a band in Texas called Asleep in the Wake. amazing, amazing group of guys. Definitely talent all the way around. But we were at our practice spot at my buddy's basement one afternoon, and Matt comes in, and it's just him and an electric guitar. And he starts straight up just thrashing Tool sober, man. And he and that moment right there was like, wow, that is how powerful music can be. And this one dude with a guitar and a microphone just throwing down. He silenced the whole room. Everybody was just watching Matt, you know? And so that was the defining moment right there when I was just like, wow, this is really, really what I want to do.
Awesome. So, that's cool, man. Let's go ahead and talk about one of the tracks on your double EP. The first song I'd like to talk about is called Lay It Down. Can you give the listeners some history about that song?
That song actually came from a prophetic word that I got. I was really struggling with some issues in my life at the time, and I was at a house of prayer, and I was literally on my face at the altar, and the lady that was running worship, a few days later, she reached out to me. She's like, I have a word for you. And she started just going on, and just the prophetic word that was given to me dropped my jaw. And so for like 4 days straight, I was lost in the weight of those words. That's where the lyrics just come from, man. And how I just needed to lay everything that I thought that was needed down and pay more attention to what God really had in store for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Patrick. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear. Lay It Down.
Right
with,
on.
With 3 days under. Crank it up here on Power Rock Podcast. Welcome back. We are with Patrick Rivers. And Patrick, what a killer tune, man. I mean, the lyrics, amazing. Actually, the whole double LP is amazing, and it was very difficult for me to choose the 5 songs that I have chosen for this interview because they're all so powerful. But, you know, I chose them personally because they spoke to me the most. I could relate the most to them. Well done, man. Just great stuff.
Thanks, man. Like I was telling you before, I have a love-hate relationship with our music. So it's one of those, it's the freshman attempt at a release. Some of it I'll listen to, and I'll be like, wow, that's really good. And then other times I'll listen to it and be like, man, we could have done so much more. That being said, I think we're all proud of our freshman release, though.
Well, I think you should be. I mean, you know, it's clear that God is using you in a very mighty way. That's awesome just right there. God is using you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. In your opinion, Patrick, what defines a successful record?
When that one person reaches out to you and tells you that either your song or the lyric or how they were treated at one of your shows while playing this record changed their lives. We had one lady come up, tell us how listening to our music literally saved her from committing suicide, how she had been preparing her family for months and her children for months for life without her because she intended to take her life. But then listening to our music, it saved her, and it saved her from that, and she is happy now. And so, in my opinion, that's success. It's not monetary. We're not known worldwide or have people banging down our doors to come play their venues, but that child has a mother, and her parents have a daughter still, so that's success to me.
The next track I'd like to talk about, Patrick, is called The Fall. Now, if I'm correct, which I'm quite certain I am, that video that you have, powerful, powerful video.
Mm.
A video that replaced the girl, replaced me.
Yeah.
The despair that I see in that video, the hurt, the I don't want to do this anymore, but I can't stop.
Dude, I'm so glad you got that from the video.
Oh, dude.
Well, man, 'cause that's what we were going for.
Dude, I got it immediately, man. My skin is standing up because I can relate to it in such a fashion that it almost, well, it's kind of bringing tears to my eyes now. You know, I'm a diabetic, bro, and I got to handle syringes every day.
Yeah.
And
I'd say that's got to be rough with your history.
It was in the beginning, but then I realized, no, it's not the same. Why don't you go ahead, though, and tell the listeners what was in your heart when that song was being written?
Actually, that all the lyrics in that song, besides the chorus, it actually comes from Scripture, and it begins in Psalm 6, I believe. And it's where David is fleeing from Saul, seeking protection from the Lord. And so, all these songs that you're discussing, or that we're discussing, are my prayers and my struggles and my hang-ups, and some of them are wrestling matches with the enemy, man. They say you shouldn't speak to the enemy. You know what? I'm a human. Sometimes I'm going to raise my voice and shake my fist at that guy,
right, you know?
Yeah. And some of these songs are really my prayers and my heart put on paper. So, and The Fall is just, The Fall is my favorite song that we do. Well, from this double EP, because what we're writing now is just, but that's for another time. But, The Fall is definitely by far my favorite song. Even when writing it, I can hear it in superhero movies, you know, like trailers. And then we had the vision for the video with what we were going to do there. And it's just, it's really turned out quite nice.
The visual part, when you put those two together, that video becomes alive. Where you were and where you are today. And just thank you, God.
That's why we had to put the disclaimer at the beginning of the video, because we know that some of those visuals can actually trigger maybe somebody who's trying to get clean, or somebody who's trying to, or has been clean for a while. Sometimes, you know, just the idea of a spoon and a flame and a needle and all that, and the girl's tying off for crying out loud. So imagery like that are really strong triggers for people. So that's why we just had to put the disclaimer at the beginning of the video that it is real, that it is gritty, and we're not going to hold back. And you can see in the video that girl, she, Lakin, I love that kid. You know, she's only 15.
Wow.
I mean, that kid didn't. Well, we couldn't use the former addict to do it because we were afraid that we would trigger them. Like you were saying, see the despair in her eyes when that tear's rolling down her cheek, that she just doesn't want to do this anymore. And so So, yeah, it's pretty powerful, man.
It is. And, you know, I'd like to add, too, that I think with Christians and rock and roll or whatever genre we're talking about here, I think there's maybe a little too much sugarcoating going on, and we need to get real.
Yeah.
We need stand-up warriors. We need people that aren't afraid to take criticism, because there's too much feel, in my opinion, and I don't mean to, I hope nobody takes offense to this, but I feel that there's too much feel-good preaching going on and not enough, you know, hellfire, brimstone kind of stuff. Get serious and let people know that there is a devil out there and he wants you dead. How can you fight a devil how can you fight an enemy that you don't know anything about? That's like you talking about going in the military. You can't fight these people if you don't know who the heck they are. You got to know something about them.
And we're not going to change our writing style, and especially lyrically, to fit a mold. We're not shooting for a contemporary Christian music station. We're not shooting for anything like that. That's why we feel it's just legit to show that, you know, yeah, we're Christians. And yeah, we have a core principle of values and beliefs. But at the same time, life isn't all sunshine and rainbows, man.
Right.
Being a Christian, we still have struggles. We still have issues. We still deal with stuff.
Why don't we go ahead and let the listeners hear The Fall
right
with
on.
3 days Under. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. All right, again, we are with Patrick Rivers. And Patrick, what can I say? I mean, we already just discussed it, man. It's amazing, amazing stuff, man.
I do love that song.
It is one of my favorites on the album as well. I really, you know, didn't want to say that because you said it first. But I gotta be honest, it really is. Well, actually, there's another one coming up that I think would be my second favorite. I just put these in order just because of the way they are on the album, I believe. Patrick, let me ask you this. How do you balance your music with other obligations you have in your life, such as a wife, children, so on and so forth?
I am lucky enough to have a wife and a child who really fully understands and believes in what I'm doing. They're fully supportive, and honestly, music is the priority, takes priority and precedence over 90% of the rest of what's going on. My wife's pregnant right now. She's due in July. So I help do things around the house and help with pregnancy and go to work, you know, when we're not all quarantined like today.
Right.
But they understand fully that, listen, this is what either daddy or the husband has to go and do right now. So, and they're just fully supportive. So I haven't ever really had to make a balance of that. I just feel so strongly about what God's placed in my heart for 3 days under that. It's one of those, I don't want to sound overconfident, but it's one of those things that I just can't see failing.
You know, another question I want to ask you, brother, is, and I think we touched on it, but I'd like to kind of recap on it. But the question is this, man, has there ever been a point in your life where you had lost the interest in music? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
It's funny that you asked that, Jim. I've tried to quit this for the last 5 years that I've been doing this. It's that is the most painful spot to be in, because once that dream starts to die or that passion starts to die, me personally, it's almost stripping a sense of hope from me. But it seems like every time I find myself in that situation of, you know what, I'm tired of the rejection emails from people that I'm trying to book for us to go play, or I'm tired of rejection emails from the management companies or the record labels. Every time that they pile up or whatever, I've got a fantastic bandmates who either tell me to shut up and quit crying and pick myself up by the bootstraps, or God sends something right in the nick of time to say, hey, you know what? Get up, dust off your knees, and keep plugging on. Nobody said this was going to be easy.
You know, it sounds like, though, that based on what, you know, you just said about your bandmates picking you up, it sounds like that there's a great deal of chemistry among you guys. You each got your own story. I'm sensing that, you know, that you pick each other up, because I think that there's a lot of musicians out there, more than none probably, that, you know, has thought about, what the heck am I doing this for? Why am I doing this?
Right.
But so, again, it just to recap that, man, it just sounds like that there's the chemistry is spot on.
Yeah, it took a little while to get there, but now that we're here and we've added a fifth guy, we've added another guitar player who is just as good a lead player as Kyle is, and they're just both working amazingly together. And Jamie and Nathan, it is, and I know a lot of people say, oh, the band's like a family and blah, 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 but I mean, I don't want to say they're not being honest in that statement, but with us, we really are. We're there for each other. If one of us winds up in the hospital, which we have, all of us are down there. We're just there for each other, and we keep each other in line. If one of us sees the other one kind of getting a little big-headed about what's going on, trust me, one of us will be there to pull that little cork out of that balloon to let that deflate a little bit.
Next track I'd like to talk about is called Ashes, and this is probably, as I stated before, this is probably my second favorite track on the album. But go ahead and give the listeners some history about that one.
Again, it's just one of those tunes that I wrote when I was reflecting and thinking about how much time that I had wasted and trying to build what I needed to build and trying to live life for me and worrying about just me. And then instead of the old regular Baptist, not to offend them by any stretch, but their idea of turn or burn, you got to get cleaned up and squared away and don't walk in here to this church with the tattoos and long hair. Going from that understanding of who God was to hey, listen, man, I don't care what you've done, where you've been, come home to me. And I'm not going to turn you away. I love you, and that will be forever and ever. And I will help clean you up. So once I came to that understanding, that made things a lot easier. And we call this like our 80s monster ballad. So.
Right. You just stated, and which is, you almost reiterated it, when I accepted the Lord was Matthew 11:28-30. It says, come to me, y'all who are heavy laden burden. Take upon my rest. Take upon my yoke. And I will give you rest, though my burdens are. And you said that almost like you were reading it. You know what I mean? It's really cool the way you put it, man. But anyway, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Ashes with 3 Days Under. Crank it up.
Just been wasted, buried alive in the ashes of my kingdom built. And all that time's been wasted chasing a light just to find my deepest hurt. I open myself up and you bury the night. My love for you will never fade. So here I find myself just searching for life in the ashes of my kingdom burned. Left standing, I'm dying inside. I'm crying out, I need rebirth. 'Cause when I hear you whisper, child, you are mine. So come on home and just be still. And yet I hear you call and just come home, child. I'm not turning you away. I'll keep running till you're safe in my arms. Because my love for you will never fade. And all I ever wanted was to draw you near and give you shelter from the open and you're safe right here. Just come home. And all those years been wasted, buried alive in the ashes of my kingdom burned.
Okay, again, we are back with Patrick Rivers and Patrick, great tune, man. I mean, wow.
Jim, well, we don't play that song live, so if you ever make it out to one of our shows, we will have to play it live for you.
Okay, now I got to ask you, why not? Why don't you play the song Ashes live?
We just have we've developed a set right now that if for the 45 minutes to an hour that we're on stage, it's pedal to the floor. And so we just didn't want to, and that tune's just kind of slow and a little more, I guess you could say, well, it's the middle of the set, they're going to slow down now. No, we want to complete intensity the entire time. So we just kind of put that on reserve. Maybe if we're doing a church service, we'll do as an altar call type deal. But so cool. Just an energy thing.
With that being said, now that we're talking about shows, play that so live, what do you think would be your most memorable show?
Oh, man, there are so many. But it would have to be last America's AC/DC Thunderstruck. They rolled through here in town. And we were picked for the local opening act to go down in front of our, I think it was like 2,200 people on the riverfront. We got to go down there and throw down to a crowd that might not ever listen to a 3 days song, but they did and they liked it. We've got some new fans, and that was just a great evening.
What's it been like for you keeping track of social media and other platforms?
That's almost another full-time job, Jim. That's because you have to stay in everybody's algorithms, and we have fallen behind the curve on Instagram and YouTube because Facebook is really just taking up all our time right now, just staying in the algorithm, and that's working. But that is definitely a full-time job in itself.
You know what, Patrick? I want to ask you really one more question, and then we're going to go ahead and close the show out, brother. What type of legacy, or basically, how do you want to be remembered when you pass on to go home with the Lord?
Oh, wow. Jim, you told me you were going to ask me some questions that made me think, and this one is definitely making me think. Hopefully, myself and the band and what we do, hopefully we leave the legacy of hope. That there, even though you can be down and out, and you will be down and out, don't give up. And that it's okay to fall. It's not okay to stay down. Because when we are in those times of struggle, there is one who you can call out to, and that's Jesus. And he can make all things new, take away all the hurts and hang-ups and everything that you got going on, but you have to be willing to release him. So hopefully that's what we leave, and that's what I leave for hopefully like my new son, who will be here in July. Hopefully in 50 years, 60 years, and he will look back and say, wow, Dad gave hope to all these people. So, Jim, why you got to be digging in the fields, bro?
Well, you know, it's like I said, brother, you know, I don't care what you had for breakfast. You know what, Patrick? That was truly a great answer. And what I want to say to you, my friend, as we close the show out, is that I pray that God continues to bless you, your family, your music. I hope that God takes you to a level that you've never dreamed you could go. I just pray that people will see what you and the band 3 Days Under have to offer the world. I say this from the bottom of my heart. I don't sugarcoat anything. I told you I was a diabetic, man. I can't sugarcoat anything. And brother, you know, so really, I just wish you the utmost success in all that you do. And thank you for taking your time and being a part of the show, man.
Jim, thank you so much. We really do appreciate that. And we would just return the favor to you and just pray healings and blessings and long life and health on you and yours too, man. So thank you so much for having us. We really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. All right, my friends, there you have it. An interview with Patrick Rivers of 3 Days Under. What we are going to do is we are going to play one more tune. This one here is called Ready or Not. Peace. We'll be right back.